Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Kadira Aisha Muhammad on Religion Means Alive. Today's date is February the 22nd, 2016, and tonight's topic is hardship of finding a spouse. Why is it so hard in today's time to find a God-fearing spouse? I'm going to speak up on this topic from an Islamic perspective. I do post daily on my Facebook page and in groups and different things like that just to get a general consensus of what people's idea of marriage is from, you know, from an Islamic standpoint, from a Christian standpoint, any kind of standpoint. As Muslims, we have a certain criteria that we have to uphold, and, you know, we believe that we will be judged accordingly for our intentions and our acts that we commit, towards other Muslims. This topic of finding a spouse, as a Christian, when I was growing up, I never seen such problems with marriage, as far as just getting married. I never seen the kind of problems that we experience today. My mother and father were married. My aunts and uncles were married. I never seen these kind of problems because there are certain requirements and there are certain stipulations that have to take place in order for a female Muslim to be married. It's not like, you know, okay, the brother starts courting her, you know, they're dating, this and that, and then, you know, he asks for her father's permission to marry her, and the father agrees, and then they go off and get married and live happy ever after. Well, that's not the case with Islam. There's no dating in Islam. The woman cannot speak to this potential husband without having some kind of guardian present when any discussions regarding the marriage is taking place. She has to have someone there just to listen in or to be present if they're in person. So, you know, there's a lot of things that come with that. And, you know, I just find it degrading. Degrading is very degrading. And I understand why brothers choose not to marry African-American sisters on top of, you know, not wanting Americans, period. You know, I get it. I get where it's coming from. And this is the same reason why I choose not to, you know, look towards African-American men because of the trouble that I have trying to find a suitable partner, someone that doesn't think that what I ask for in a mare or what they call the dowry, bridal money, is excessive. I mean, I just don't get it. And even when you try to work with brothers around the situation, it's basically coming down to this. It's basically coming down to this. Sis, I know you got money. I know you're well off. And I just feel like I don't want to take care of you. I just want to come lay up in your house. I want to come lay up and eat your food. I want to lay up with you and have sex. But we're going to do this in the name of Islam. This is what I get. This is what I get. And I'm frustrated by that. I'm extremely frustrated by that because degrading. It's degrading. It's because you feel like I have something that you don't. You feel like you're not obligated to take care of me. And we know that in Islam, it is the husband's duty to maintain a woman. There are three things that a man is responsible for. He's responsible for her shelter. He's responsible for her clothing. And he's responsible for her food. Those are three things that outside of anything, a man is responsible for. He's responsible for those three things. Now, I was advised not to broadcast the conversation that I have recorded. And, you know, I was advised by people who I do respect and value their opinion. And I'm still teetering on whether or not I'm going to release this information. But the simple fact is, when it gets down to it, I'm not asking, first and foremost, this is something that I want to make clear. I am not getting married because I'm in a financial hardship and I need a man. That's not why I want to get married. I want to get married because the law, depending on what the Allah said, it is half your religion to marry. It's half your religion to get married. I don't have that half of religion because I'm not married. I'm single. It's degrading, and it puts sisters off from getting married because it's like, okay, you know, you don't want to do nothing. You don't want to do nothing. And I think I was being very generous. And even my Wakil said that. He said even I was being more generous. And this is how, this is the game that brothers want to play. This is the game, you know, for me personally, I'll stay single. I don't have to go through this nonsense and this degrading and think that, you know, that's sufficient for me. I'll continue to be by myself. I don't have a problem with being by myself. It's that I want to uphold the obligation that Allah said I should complete while I'm here on earth, that I should seek marriage out because I can get married. I'm doing it because Allah says so, not because I need a man to do a darn thing for me. I don't need you to pay nothing for me. This is the problem. I don't need you to pay anything. My bills are paid, my tax. I own my home. That's the problem. I own my home. I don't have a mortgage. I own my vehicle. I don't have a car note. I'm basically debt-free. The only thing that I got to pay is utility bills. I have one credit card that has a $200 balance on it. I do not need a man to take care of me. But best believe that if I do get married, you're not living up in my house rent-free. I'm sorry. I'm sorry because Allah said I don't have to do that. And that is not my obligation to continue to do what I do and have a husband. I don't know where people are getting their Islam from, but this is not the Islam that I know. This is not the Islam that I was taught, that you break your neck, you go out there and do everything that you're supposed to do and have your man just because you know you want to have halal sex with him. You have him laying up in your house, and he don't have to do nothing. You buy the food, you cook clean, buy his clothes, by his, you know, do everything for him, and that's sufficient, and that's supposed to be pleasing to Allah. Like, y'all can get out of here with that. Like, because I already know that's not what it is. And people want to constantly bombard you with that foolishness. I'm not falling for it. My Wakil is not falling for it. So, I mean, you know, y'all can keep on trying to kick this bamboozlement to sisters and think that there is okay for them to sit back and take this kind of crap from you, brothers, but I'm not having it. I'm not a sister that's needy or dependent. Alhamdulillah, that Allah sends me provisions that I don't have to seek out and do haram things or really struggle to make ends meet. Allah has blessed me with ease in this type of situation, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that because I see the hardships that sisters go through. I see it every day. I experience. I have sisters inboxing me, telling me about the hardships and stuff that their husbands is putting them through, and it makes no sense. It's disgusting. It's disgusting for people to say that you're Muslim and then conduct yourself in a way, in a manner like this. It's disgusting. It's degrading, and people all around the world know the behavior of particularly this region of Philadelphia. People all around the world know how these brothers and sisters act, and I'm not just going to put it off on the sister, on the brothers. It's sisters, too, because you only get what you allow. You only get what you allow. I gave the sunnah requirements for what a mayor should be paid. 500 dirhams, equivalent to 50 cents on the silver gram. So for each gram of silver, 50 cents equals to about $744 for a dowry. The brother did not want to pay that. Then I included maintenance, which would be what he's required, food, shelter, and clothing, what he's required to pay. Again, what he's required to pay. Because what does it say? In Quran, he spends up his wealth. If you ain't spending up your wealth, what are you doing? What are you doing? How are you a man if you're not spending up your wealth on your wife? And I'm not talking about asking for additional in addition to the 500. I'm talking about 500. The brother wanted to argue me down because he said, you got other people living in your house. I said, okay, well, you take out the gas, electric, and water. You take that out since my kids are using it, and you're not responsible for my kids, which I understand. And my grandson, you're not responsible for those three people. You're only responsible for me. You then wanted me to break down the taxes on my house and say that my kids are benefiting off of that. And I had to make this clear. No matter if I had 20 people living in my house, I still had to pay that amount of taxes. I still had to pay that amount of insurance in my house. So whether I had 20 people or one person, you still have to pay that. And in today's time, where are you living at for $184 a month? Where can I rent a room for $184 a month? Even if I was to calculate, food, and I'm using what welfare uses. These are the numbers and figures that I went to get this, to be honest and reasonable with this brother. $8 per day. $8 per day is $56 a week. $56 a week is $244. That's still almost $700. The brother did not want to pay. He wanted to give me almost $180 a month. Now you tell me, where I can live with food, shelter, water, clothing, and everything else for $184 a month. You tell me. And the reason why the brother was saying this is because, and I'm going to tell you why he said this. It was said because I would have been in polygyny. He has another wife, and he has children. So he figures, I don't have children with you, and I'm not going to be staying there that much, so I shouldn't be obligated to give you that much. What he fails to realize is when you take on the responsibility of marrying someone else, you still have to provide for her equally. So if you're paying all the bills at your other wife's house, you got to pay all my bills. And if you can't do that, then you shouldn't be looking to get married to nobody. But this is what he wanted to try to belittle me with and belittle my Wakil with. This is what I go through. And then people wonder why I make the statements that I make. Because everybody got up in arms today when I said prostitutes get treated better than Muslim women here. And it's a God honest truth. Because when you go to seek out a prostitute, she done told you what she wants, and you're going to pay it. Versus here, a sister is trying to tell you she's asking even something as reasonable as $744 for the dowry and $500 a month. I believe that was beyond generous. Beyond generous. And then people want to go and put words in my mouth that I asked for a house. No, stop the law. I didn't ask for no house. I received a house with my first marriage with my kid's father. I didn't ask for a house. He bought the house and gave it to me. I didn't ask for it. It was given to me. Am I going to decline it? No, I'm not going to decline it. Why would I do that? A paid-for house? Why would I do that? That would be real stupid of me to decline a paid-for house. I don't have to pay rent. All I got to do is pay taxes and insurance. So that would be kind of stupid of me to turn down the house when I was 21 years old with two kids. That would be kind of stupid to turn down the house. I didn't, and I still reside in the house. And what brothers fail to realize is if I did ask for a brother to buy me a house and it was within my means, see, this is the part where brothers get, you know, sidetracked at. This is where they get sidetracked at. Because they want to, you know, get into their feelings. I can ask for anything I want in my dowry. I can put whatever I want in. It could be outlandish. I could say I want $1 million cash. I want $1 million bills. I could put that in my diary. Would I get it? Not necessarily, I wouldn't. Not necessarily. One thing the sisters have to keep in mind, though, when they do ask these things in a dowry, if you ask for a cooler divorce, you have to be able to pay him back if he requires it. When I divorced my children's father, I asked him, did you want this house back? He said, no, raise my children in it. And that was that. He didn't take the house back. Could I have given it back to him if he asked to? Yes, I would have to, because I would have been responsible for that debt. That would have been a hindrance or a block in the agreement that we initially stated. So when we divorced, I asked him, do you want this house back? He said, no, raise my children in it. And that's what I did, and it's my house. So if I wanted to put in my dowry that I want a house and I could pay back that money that the house is worth, why can't I ask for it? Why can't I? Nobody can tell me why I can't ask for it. Then I said $1,500. I think that's being real reasonable. I'm not some hood rat. I'm not somebody who's uneducated. I'm not somebody who's uncouth. I mean, you know, people have a problem with it. The area that I live in, is not the same as Philadelphia. And this is where people have problems with. If you're somewhere else in the world, your standard of living is not what my standard of living is. Even though I'm very close to Philadelphia, our taxes alone, my school taxes, is $2,400 a year. $2,400 a year, just in school tax. That doesn't include my real estate tax, my insurance tax, or my trash and sewer tax, or it doesn't include my homeowner's insurance. I don't have a mortgage, but I am still responsible for those taxes and that insurance on my home. So basically, that's another mortgage. Basically, if you think about it, it's a mortgage payment that I'm making. Every month, I have to send out the average bills on those taxes. I do not ask brothers what is beyond their means. I want these brothers to stop trying to oppress these sisters. You've given them a Quran and an A-line overgarment, and then you think that's sufficient for them. As I stated, $744 is sunnah. That's the sunnah amount. That's the minimum that you should ask for and not be a burden to someone. I didn't just pull that number out the air nowhere. That's sunnah. That's in hadith. And anybody who wants to get, you know, wants that particular hadith on where it states that, feel free to call me, 610-836-2120, or send me an email, qamrma@gmail.com. You can inbox me on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. And I will provide you the dalil on it. But it's insulting when these brothers say, I don't want to give you nothing. You want to be able to have halal sex with me, but you don't want to pay me nothing. You don't want to pay. And look, this is the thing. You don't even have to pay me cash. I will break down them bills and send them receipts to you, send you the bill statement. I'll send that to you with the address, everything. Go ahead. You can pay the bill ahead of time. You ain't even got to tell me you pay it. Just go ahead and pay. They don't even want to do that. You don't even want to do that. I'm not some extravagant sister asking you for $5,000 a month. I'm not asking you that. Now, my bills that I pay a month out this house is $2,800, and I was asking you for $500, and you got a problem with be humble in a situation, but it's like it was, oh, no, I only want to give you $148 a month? Are you serious? I mean, are you really serious? That's so degrading to a sister. Like, I just, and you know who I am. And the reason why I say that is because y'all brothers scan profiles. Y'all go through every picture because y'all, when you're talking or inbox to me about stuff, you're mentioning stuff that you see in my profile. And I'm like, you know, that stuff is kind of far back here. That stuff is kind of far back. So, or you like a picture from 2009. So you're searching, you're looking through to see who I am. And you see plainly who I am. I don't hide or disguise who I am or what I'm about. For what? I'm not fake. I'm not trying to pretend to be somebody I'm not. But again, I'm trying to fulfill what Allah said I need to fulfill as being a humble servant to him on this earth. I need to be married because it's better for me to be married than it is for me to be single. Why do men think that I don't want protection? You know, I have to go out here. Not all the time my Wakil is available. He has his own family. It's my blood brother. He doesn't want me for himself, or he's not making up stuff. He's my blood brother. We have the same mother and father. So he doesn't want me for himself. He doesn't want me for himself. And he has a family, and he has a job. So the thing about it is when a brother comes to me and say he's interested in marriage, I'm thinking that, you know, okay, let me get you the information, but then you waste our time. If you don't want to pay no bills, if you don't want to do nothing, why waste our time? Keep it moving. Go to the next sister, her Wakil or her Wali, and waste their time. Because what I'm putting out there, and a lot of brothers came to my defense on this. Like, yo, she ain't asking for nothing. I'm not asking you for nothing. And, you know, I was called the gold digger because I said $744 and then $500 a month for maintenance was excessive. Oh, Uzzabillah, you should fear Allah for saying that. $500, you can't, like I said, you can't even rent a room somewhere for $500 a month and just pay all your utilities, buy your food, everything for $500 a month where? Not in this area, maybe living, you know, somewhere else in the country or in a third world country, you can live off of $500 a month. $8 a day for food, $56 a week, $244 a month. And you didn't even want to add that one to the $500 as far as food. And I said, okay, $500. And you still wanted to break that down to $100. And I may be saying this wrong. It was like $180 or something like that, $724 divided by 4. I want to know when we are going to stop playing with this religion. And brothers, I'm just putting it out there for you. If you want to give a sister $148 a month, you're going to get $148 sister. You're going to get exactly what your hand paid for. You want a sister that's going to, you know, guard her chastity when you're gone? Because again, this was polygamy. This one, he wasn't living with me 24/7. You want her to guard her chastity. You want her to be mindful, respect the house and everything like that. Do everything you want, and you don't want to. You want her to do whatever, and it's basically like you've been doing it. You've been doing it without me, so you really don't need my money. And I got a family over here, so I really need to take care of them. That's disgraceful. Why even seek someone out for marriage if you don't want to maintenance them? You don't want to give them a dowry. He didn't even want to give me a dowry. On his contract, it said deferred. It didn't even have a date or anything, deferred. What does deferred mean? What does deferred mean? You you know, a couple of people still are reaching out to me, asking me not to play that, you know, that conversation. And, you know, I'm still on the fence with it because it got me real heated because it just doesn't make any sense that, you know, in this day and age, and this brother wasn't a young brother. This brother wasn't young. But he won't play these type of games. Keep your money because I don't need it. You can keep your money because I don't need it. And I don't want it for that thing. If I got to make you feel like I'm forcing you to do something that you should want to do because you fear Allah and you love this religion, then I don't want your money. Keep it. And you can keep your proposal for marriage, and you can do whatever you want with it. Go find some sister who will appreciate that. And I'll leave it at that. I can't even pay my gas bill with that. But you so worried about what my kids are using. I'm not asking you anything for my children. I know you're not responsible for my children. I am. Where can you rent a one-bedroom apartment for $500? I just need to know that. And have all your utilities included in it. I need to know where that place is at. Because where I live at, to rent my house a month would be anywhere from $1,200 to $1,500 a month. Just to rent the house. I ain't talking about no utilities where I live at. And I'm right outside of Philadelphia. So, you know, maybe this is something that I need to say. Brothers, if you're seeking a sister and she resides in another state, or locality, you guys need to start going out on Google and searching the city or township that she lives in and then type in what is the cost of living in that area, because you're coming with some other area to her area, it might not match up. So, you know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that was the situation with it, that, you know, he didn't understand the cost of living and he didn't think that it was, you know, that expensive to live where I live at. So I'll give him the benefit. I'm going to make the excuse for him on that note. I see that we have some people waiting to speak, so I'm going to go ahead and put the first person through.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Did you have a comment?
Yes, I do, Kadira. This is Amal Abdul Malik.
Oh, mashallah.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm going to keep it short and brief.
Okay.
I saw, you know, the whole exchange, and it upset me because, hold on a second.
Okay.
There's a lot of, first of all, when we're speaking of polygamy and polygyny and the rights of the wife, a lot of times there are, you know, brothers, that, of course, we follow the sunnah, which is, you know, the example of the Sahaba, and that's what they refer to. They refer to, you know, Khadija, radiallahu anha, she, you know, provided, she was wealthy and the Prophet was not. Alhamdulillah, that is our example. However, that is not his only wife that he had.
Right.
And a lot of times people overlook the fact that the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, married widows. He married women whose husbands died in the war. He married, you know, women who were not able to provide for themselves. And he provided from the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, provided for them. And We must remember that everything we get, everything we benefit from is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a lot of times the attitude of, you know, well, you need to be grateful because you have a husband or somebody wants to marry you or, you know, instead of looking at it as, okay, in Islam, if I'm able to, if I want to marry and I'm able to provide, then get married.
Right.
If you're not able to provide, it's prescribed that you fast. And, you know, a lot of brothers aren't taking that into consideration because their nafs is taking over. They want halal sex. You know, they want intimacy, but they don't want the responsibility that comes with it. And yes, it's a financial responsibility, and they do have the right to have, you know, one, two, three, four wives. However, there is a hadith that states a brother that if you marry a wife and you mistreat her, on Yom Kiyam, you'll stand before Allah with half your body deformed.
Yep.
So I think that there a lot of times brothers are missing the point. Would you like to stand before Allah deformed? And that be your you know, part of your punishment to show how you treated your wife. In Surah Al-Baqarah, it states that, you know, the husband provides for the wife and the children. In Surah Al-Nisa, it states that the husband is the provider. In Surah Al-Talaq, it states that the husband is the provider. So you can look at all these surahs, you know, for those who say they don't follow the hadith, which we're not even going to get into that. But you can look into all these surahs. You can't deny the Quran. You can't deny the Quran that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what he has told us. And when it says that you are to provide and maintain, that is, it's not an option. And that does not mean that one household gets $1,500, the other household gets $158. That's not providing. That's not being fair. That's not equal. If you buy a shoe for yourself, you buy a shoe for your wife. If you buy a piece of bread and eat, you feed her a piece of bread. If you, you know, it is equal for equal. There's a hadith that says the man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "I have one dinar. How should I spend?" He said, "Spend it on yourself." He came back. He said, "I have another dinar. How should I spend?" He said, "Spend it on your spouse." He came back. He had another. He said, "How should I spend?" He said, "Spend it on your children." He came back with another. He asked him, "How do I spend?" He said, "You know how to spend this next dinar you have." So there is no question about what you should do. These brothers know what they're supposed to be doing. You know, they know what they're supposed to be doing. They know that they're supposed to be providing. That's in the Quran. There is no getting around that. If you don't have it to provide, then the prescription is for you to fast until you are able to provide. And we're not in the time of Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We still follow the sunnah. But they didn't have electricity bills. They didn't have water bills. They didn't have light bills.
Right.
They didn't have, you know, bills that were coming in. And as a man, you would think you want to contribute to the household. If you're married to one sister and you take on a second, it's in Surah Nisa. And I can exact ayah, but it states that if you feel like you will be unjust to more than one, then marry only one. If you feel you'll be unjust among them, marry only one. So if you feel that you can only give $148 over here, but you're going to put $1,500 over here, then you don't have business getting two. And it makes me upset. It makes me upset because, you know, I have family members, I have friends who I've seen going to polygyny. And they've come out heartbroken. They've come out hurt. They've come out with a twisted idea of what polygamy is because of how these brothers are practicing it. You know, and I catch the time I'm told I'm up, you know, upon innovation. I'm a gold digger. I'm greedy or whatever. I'm not going to settle for. Yeah, I'm not going to settle for your way of practicing Islam. I was raised by an imam in the masjid my whole life. Raised in the masjid, in a household where my father only had one wife because that's all he could afford to provide for.
Right.
If he felt like he could provide for more, he would have went and got another one. Allahu alam. But he didn't. He provided for us as a family of seven, and he had his shortcomings. Alhamdulillah, he was the best father he could be.
Right.
And it upsets me because this is the world we live in, when people are living for their desires instead of to please Allah.
Right. And, you know, that was one of the main issues that my wakil, like, you know, I don't play games with that. Like, if you say you're interested in me, I get my wakil immediately involved. Like, you need to start contacting him. Don't contact me no more. So that's how the situation progressed. And, you know, my brother was very offended when, you know, my brother was like, well, I pay $800, my rent is $800 a month that I pay for my family. And he was like, you know, I know my sister. My brother knows what my bills are. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we discussed that. That's my brother. He's also my wakil. So he knows that the amount that I stated was just. He knows how much money I make a year. So he was like, you know, my sister's being very generous with you. Like, she's not making a hardship on you. And he said, you know, I don't understand cost of living may be different where you're at, but I doubt that you can live anywhere for $500 a month. And, you know, the brother didn't even want to pay that. He wanted to pay me almost like $180 a month. And then, you know, it was like, oh, well, you know, your grandson lives here. And I'm like, you know, my grandson is a month old today. So, I mean, what water and stuff is he using? He said, well, I need to know who's cutting on lights and stuff. I was like, my brother, like, you know, it was just like a astaghfirullah, like, dude, you're not ready to take on another wife, because if you got to calculate it down to the penny like that, then you don't need another wife, because, you know, he's like, well, every month ain't going to be the same. Dude, you're not even paying my whole light bill. So how could you even worry about whether or not
Nadira,
it's going to be a fluctuation? Like,
look at it as you dodged the bullet. Alhamdulillah. Allah protected you from a worse situation. So, I mean, you forgive, you know, salam out. Sound like I appreciate the offer, but alhamdulillah, we're gonna take our options elsewhere. There's nothing wrong with denying him his request. That's your
right. Absolutely. That was the case.
It's not to say that you're ungrateful, and it's not to say that, you know, Allah won't send someone else for you. But if your needs aren't being met as far as what you're needing, and it's not to say that that's greedy, that's very minimum. I know sisters that get a $2,000 allowance and maintenance, and the brother's paying all the bills, you know. We're talking about what can you afford. If you can't afford another family, then inshallah make provisions so that you can get a better job, get a second job, if that's your desire. But don't try to force somebody to accept your living conditions, you know, in order to be their spouse. It's not fair. And, you know, our ultimate goal is Jannah, so it shouldn't be about money anyway. We're doing it to please Allah, but you have to give a wife her rights. That's in the Quran.
Right.
You have to give her a right, and that's a right to maintain. If you're not maintaining I posted the Dalil on your post.
Right, I seen it.
So inshallah.
Inshallah, I appreciate your input, and I appreciate you joining. So stay tuned. I'm gonna just put you back on mute, and we're gonna continue the conversation from there.
All right. Sound like
Wa alaikum salam. If anybody else has a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and then I can put you through. If you're streaming live via the chat, you can go to the chat box and type in your question, and I'll be able to see it while we're online. Inshallah, if you do this after the call, which it will go into the archives, I won't be able to read it because the show is now over. We're actually streaming live, so that's how I'm able to get everyone's call and questions in. You know, I hate to think that people seriously play the religion like this. And, you know, as the sister said, you know, on the day of Yama Kiyama, there are certain things I just don't want to think about. because I don't want to think about the evil deeds or the sins that I committed on this earth, because I'm going to be too worried about, you know, did my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds? And when you take and play with this religion, like, it's a joke. Like, oh, you know, I can slide past, I can use this sister, or, you know, I can get over on this brother, you know, like, you know, whatever. The angel on the left is still writing. That doesn't stop. You know, and we definitely should be mindful of these things and stop taking a religion for a joke, and just because you see a sister that you like, everything that you want, you can't have. You can't have everything you want. And I mean, to try to burden or put a hardship on a sister simply because you want to fulfill your nafs is insane. It's insane. I'm going to oppress this sister. I'm not going to give her nothing because I just want to have sex with her. I mean, this goes back to behaviors that people in Jahiliyyah had. Oh, I'm from the 80s and 90s. I grew up in the 80s and 90s. So I'm going to buy her a pair of Reeboks. And we used to know what that was, $35.99. I'm going to buy her two pairs of Reeboks, and she good. I mean, that's doing your behavior. I'm going to give her $100. She'd be cool. This is not to knock nobody on Section 8 or whatever, because, like, really, $180-something, I mean, I couldn't do anything with that. Maybe a sister who was in a worse-off situation could benefit from that, but, I mean, just me being who I am, and again, alhamdulillah, I'm thankful to Allah that I wouldn't be needy for that. And I just feel like, you know, I seen what you were doing, I know what you're about, and I just feel like you don't deserve it. I'm going to use that money on my family over here because, I mean, you know, in the whole conversation, you know, he like, I got another family and I got kids. But that don't have nothing to do with me. You're asking me to be your another wife for you. Why should your burdens that you have anything to do with me? That's not my concern. If you're looking to marry me, you should have handled all of those affairs already. You should have took into account what your obligations would have been if I was to be your wife, that, you know, now I'm going to have to, you know, do this equally. But I didn't get that. And, you know, I didn't get that. My brother didn't get that. And my brother was appalled at the situation. Like, my brother was sick at that. Like, you know, I can't even believe he would waste my time like that or say something like that to you. And, I mean, he really thought he was right saying that, you know, this is what I'm going to give you. Like, I was flabbergasted. I was just looking at my phone and trying to see if I was really awake on this thing because I was just like, I just couldn't believe it. And it was like, okay, because your house is paid off, I shouldn't have to get, I ain't contributing there because your kids live there. Even if I lived in this house by myself, I would still have to pay those taxes. I would still have to pay that insurance. So, again, as I stated earlier, if I had 20 people living in this house, it would still be the same price. But he didn't see it like that, oh, because you got kids. I don't say, oh, because you got kids over there that, you know, I should get more. Like, it just didn't make no sense to me with the whole situation. And, you know, as the sister said, alhamdulillah, Allah spared me from that because, you know, I have been thinking more rationally because, you know, every week, and, you know, may Allah keep sending them, but may Allah keep removing them if they ain't right. You know, every week, sometimes 2-3 times a week, a brother be like, you know, what's your wakil information, and I give it to him. And more than likely, it never pans out. You know, because they like, you know, we don't want to go through that whole process and what have you. But, you know, I leave it at that. I see someone else has a question, so I'm going to put them through.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I was going through somewhat the same thing, and I think it's really sad. You know, a lot of the sisters, and again, and I'm not knocking anyone who was on Section 8, because,
right.
Yeah, I applied. I didn't qualify for whatever reason, but nonetheless, we as sisters have to have standards for ourselves also. It seemed like we just don't have a problem with lowering our standards just to say that we have a husband. And I think it's sad that a lot of the sisters who aren't working, who received this, who are on Section 8, they just throw all their business out there on the table. They receive the Section 8, they get the CCIS for whatever reason, they get the, you know, they get the rent rebates, they get all this stuff. So the brothers don't think they have to do anything to maintain these sisters because you're already getting it.
Right. Right.
I mean, then you're really okay with accepting absolutely nothing for your dowry, just so that way you can have a husband. Like, where have our standards went?
And you know what, sister? It's not even the sisters who on Section 8. As I stated, you know, my brother knows my personal business in regards to my bills. My house is paid for, but I still have to pay real estate tax. I still have to pay school tax. I have to still pay, it's like a regular city tax here, a local wage tax here. And my housing insurance. And my housing insurance. So, you know,
like
even though I don't have, so I don't have a mortgage, but I still have to pay those taxes. And what I did was, once my house was paid off, I said, in order for me to stay up on top of this, I still continue to use my mortgage company to calculate those bills so I can pay it month by month. Because if I had to pay it separately, I would have had to pay it all at one time. And I know me, I could mismanage some money, and then I'll be late, and then they'll put a lien on my house. So I still go through my mortgage company, but they charge me a minimal fee, which I did not include in that amount. So, you know, it was just like, you know, you just feel like you don't have to pay me nothing. And, you know, like my brother was like, you know, I know my sister bills. Like, he knows my bills. Because we talk about this stuff. You know, we're family, but we talk about these things. And, you know, he comes to me and say, you know, if the brother asks for maintenance, I need to know what your bills were. So, you know, I give that information to my brother. And my brother knows how much money I make a year. And he's like, yo, like, he's like, I mean, on the call that I recorded, you know, he was like, yo, my sister's being way generous with you. Like, I know where her bills is, and I know where her monthly maintenance is. And like I said, outside, if he didn't have to pay that, I pay $2,800 a month, just on maintaining my home, me and my children. And I get it. No, my children aren't, you know, obligated to you, and no, my grandson isn't obligated to you. But for you to, it was just absurd. And I think it's a slap in the face. Like, you know, it's like the dunya. It's dunya behavior. It's not
it's
behavior. It's like they're pulling it from the dunya. Like, okay, I dropped this chick. I pay for her hair. I got her nails done, and I bought her 2 pairs of Reeboks, and she good. Like, no, we grown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some sneakers and stuff ain't going to do me no good. And then, you know, these brothers know I know how to cook, right? They know. Of course, they're looking on the page. And then you want me to make you oxtails. Do you know how much halal oxtails cost?
Exactly.
Like, you want me to make all these good dishes for you, but you don't want to give me no money to contribute to buying this food? And, you know, halal meat costs almost double than what hit meat costs. So you want me to buy halal oxtail, but you don't even want to give me the money to buy it. Like, it makes no sense. And it's doing your behavior. I mean, it's real doing your behavior. Just stuff that they're doing and what they're trying to portray has nothing to do with Islam. It has nothing to do with Islam. Like, you know, because you got another wife and kids that are supposed to be sacrificed because you want another wife and you just want to, you know, fulfill your needs and all this and that, but you don't want to give me nothing because you got this other family. I don't care about your car and your house and your other responsibilities. I mean, you know, I'm not being selfish, but right now you talking about you want to marry me and put more of a burden on me than what I need to put myself in. Why would I do that? Like, I mean, my brother was the same way. He was like, no, I'm not authorizing it. He was like, you know, he seemed like a good brother from the beginning. He was like, but that's crazy. Like, he was like, I'm not, no, I wouldn't even, I wouldn't, he was like, no, like, I'm not doing it. You
know, well, someone literally said, you may need to lower your standards. And I'm like, well, lower my standards, huh?
Wow.
So what does that, how does one lower their standards? Oh, okay. I have to say that I'm going to take care of everything just to say that I have a husband. I'm A-okay with being single. Of course, I need to have a husband. I should have a husband because it's, you know, but I'm not going to subject myself to that. I'm not. I'm in the process of buying a home. So I'm going to take on a husband who can help me. I don't even need you to help me pay for my home because it'll be mine. Mine because I have younger children, whatever the case may be. But I don't need you stepping in, want to put your boots underneath my bed, and you can't help me maintain it.
Right.
No,
and see, and I think that's where the real problem comes in there. And, you know, like people want to say, humble yourself and things like that. And I'm just going to put this out there real quick. I was married 8.5 years. Before my ex-husband, and I didn't have to worry about nothing. I was taken care of, and you know, I didn't want for nothing. And then, you know, when I'm divorced, I said, okay, I'm gonna humble myself, and I got my behind handed to me. Never again, because you know why? A law said that women are not the maintainers of men. It's the reverse. Men are the maintainers of women, and when you think you know better than the law, a law is going to show you better than he can tell you. And
exactly.
That's just my prerogative. I'm not doing it again. I'm not doing no charity cases, no nothing, because these men need to stand up and be men. You don't know how to be a man. You're so dependent on a woman taking care of you and providing for you. This, your wife is not your mother. She does not
have to. Well, you have to know and understand also.
Right.
You know, you have to know and understand also the sisters today, we're the providers. We go to work. You know, and we will marry these brothers who don't have jobs and be A-okay with it. So, okay, we maintain all of our bills, our household, and our children or whatever the case may be, and he comes in with the minimum. He comes in with the minimum.
And
sometimes not even that. I never forget, oh, my goodness, and it's unbelievable because you figure, okay, you on here, y'all on this Facebook and Instagram, on these social medias, and y'all talking all this trash, and y'all know y'all can't afford these women. You know you can't afford a wife, let alone two, because you already have five and six children. So here it is, you don't want to marry a sister who already has children because you may have to help. I mean, and I don't ask anybody for anything for my children.
Right.
They're mine.
Right.
I take care of them.
Right.
Just like I take care of me, but I will not take care of you.
Right.
I'm not going to do that.
And that's the way it should be. And I tell people this. I said, you know, they can go in and say whatever. My mother and father were married to the day my dad took his last breath on October 11, 2012. So let me tell you something here. I know what it takes to be a good wife. My mother was a good wife to my father, and my father was a good husband to my mother. So I know what it's like to be raised in a family that had two parents and were married, not just shacking up. They were married.
Mm-hmm.
So for a brother to tell me that, oh, because, you know, this situation, like, you know, don't bring my kids in because two of my kids is broke. Two of my kids is broke, and they don't have nothing to do with you. And my youngest one is my responsibility. And I handle that. I'm not asking you a job for none of my kids or nothing other than what you're supposed to do. And that's where the problem comes in there, because you don't want to do anything. And I mean, it's really basically, I don't want to give you nothing. Like, just be honest. I don't want to give you nothing. But I want to come lay up in your house and have sex with you. And I want you to gain my rights. I want you to cook. I want you to clean. I want you to do everything a wife's supposed to do, and I just don't want to give you nothing. And that's what it is. And, you know, that's why, like, you know, a lot of brothers got upset that I said, you know, prostitutes get better treatment than Muslim sisters. And it's the God honest truth, because when you walk in that room with that prostitute, you already know how much you're going to pay, and it's on the table, and she's paid. She's paid already. These sisters can do all that and more, cook, clean, and everything, and have sex with you. And she still ain't getting none of that.
Mm-hmm. But we also have to put our foot down. We also have to know and understand that we don't have to do these things. And a lot of us subject ourselves to just that, just to say that they have, just to say that I have a husband or whatever the case would be. So they'd rather go without these things and him taking care of, maintaining, and protecting her, just to say that they have.
And you know what? I think that comes from a lack of self-esteem also, and pressure from the community just to feel that you have to be married, you have to be married, you have to be married. Yeah, you have to be married, but you should be put into a situation where it's not burdensome on you. I'm not getting married to no man. I'm not marrying no man that can't do anything for me. I'm not doing it. For what? I might as well just stay single and continue as I am. Why would I marry a man that's going to put more of a burden on me, want to use my car, want to borrow my... Why would I do that? I've been there, done that. Why would I do that again? Why would I do that? When I know that's not my responsibility, and no woman, and I'm just telling this for the brothers who are listening, no woman will respect a man that she has to take care of. I don't care if she's trying to get married or whatever. She hates you. She hates you because she has to do everything that she... It's not in the natural fitra of a woman, a law said that, to take care of a man. Because if it was, he would have created us as to maintain us equal with a man. He would have. He would have said that. The reason why men are over the women is because they spend of their wealth.
No.
A woman is not supposed to do that. Anything that we do is considered as sadaqah. We don't have to do nothing. And this is what they, you know, fail to realize. Marriage in Islam is a contract. You can put whatever you want in that contract. Now, it's up to the brother to say, no, I ain't settling for that. I ain't doing it. Now, if you say you ain't going to do it and you say you're going to do it, then you're held accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't be pressured. You know, like we went through the whole thing about, you know, saying that I asked for $1,500 for a dowry. What's wrong with that? Because I could pay that back. Like, again, you know, I tried to stipulate when you ask for something in the dowry, if you say you asked for $5,000 and y'all don't work out and you want a cooler, you have to ask that brother, do you want that $5,000 back? If he say yes, you got to pay him back. If he says no, then you good to go. So, again, if I ask for a house and I know I could afford a house, you know, say $100,000, I could afford a house because I got that money to pay you back or sell that house and, you know, bank some of that money but pay you the value of it, why can't I ask for it?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I ask for it? You know, like I made a joke, I said I wanted a storefront. Why can't I ask for a storefront? I mean, I'm just being realistic. Why couldn't I ask for a storefront as my dowry to open up a business that could ultimately help all of us? Brothers like, oh, no, that's excessive, you being extravagant. How am I being extravagant when I could pay you back? That's the difference. I'm not asking for something I couldn't pay back. I'm asking for something that I could pay you back. But see, you would be feeling kind of hurt if that business flourished into more. And then I say I want a divorce and I only got to give you back what the face value of it was. Because you ain't going to get what it's worth now. And see, that's something else that the brothers start to realize. Look at what the sisters is trying to invest in. She could be possibly trying to help the whole family, not just, you know, you or her children or whoever. She's trying to help the whole family. She's looking at the bigger picture. But these brothers don't get that. Oh, she's trying to use me. Use you for what? You don't have nothing to give me. Like, I mean, you know, and the brothers, oh, y'all sisters better off. And, you know, I went through this. When my parents said go to school and learn and listen to what the teacher said, I did that. You were afforded the same opportunity to go to school and pay attention just like I was. Now, if you chose the hookie school and sell drugs and get caught and got a record, that's on you. But don't penalize me because I went to school and got an education, and now you mad because you got a record and can't get a job, and you see that I'm doing me and doing okay. Now you think that I should help you because of your situation and feel sorry for you? Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why should I feel sorry for you? When we were afforded the same opportunity, you was at that fork in the road, I chose to go right, you chose to go left, and you got what your hands called for. Don't be mad at me. But people don't see it like this. They want to, you know, degrade these sisters and say, this is what you're worth. And, I mean, I heard sisters talk about they got a $5 dowry. Like, are you serious?
Oh, wow.
Like, you ask, like, I just can't fathom that because I had a father who took care of my mom. He paid all of the, my dad worked two jobs and my mom worked a job. And my mom kept her money. And even if if we needed stuff, my dad still would give my mom money to buy stuff for us.
Right.
So it was sort of like living in an Islamic home. My mom kept her money, and my dad paid all the bills and still took care of us, still bought groceries, food, and everything else, and never complained about it. But these men today, they don't want to work and give you nothing, but y'all can go out and buy a $700 pair of sneakers, $1,500 belt, and all this other stuff, but you don't want to give your wife $500 a month to make, to cook, and take care of you, and protect her chastity, and protect your home. You don't want to give that to her?
Mm-hmm.
It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And I ain't even going to talk about, the whole other thing, something I want to make these sisters aware of. If you are planning on getting married, and I don't care how slick this brother talks, I don't care what he says, what kind of proof he shows to you, get HIV tested. Please get STD tested. Please, because I was made aware of something over the weekend. And, a sister contacted me and said that, her husband was cheating on her with another woman, and she's HIV positive, and they've been married for years. And so I'm saying to myself, has this man disclosed this to this other woman? And the sister said, I tried to reach out to her, but he keep cussing me out and all this. And I said, well, has he ever got tested? She was like, no. And I was like, well, do he know if he has it? She was like, no. And y'all ready for this? These ain't young people. I'm talking about these people when they're 50. Please, I'm telling y'all, these brothers, they want to be wife hopping. These sisters want to be those jumping. Please get tested for all kinds of STDs. And don't just take a paper that they didn't send you. Go with them together. Or even if you want to get a rapid quick, you can go to CVS, any store, and get that over-the-counter for $75. If you feel like it's that serious that y'all want to get married, both of y'all take that test, at least do the rapid HIV test over-the-counter before you sleep with this person. Because I'm telling you, when I look, I know you can't look at somebody and tell they HIV positive or they sick or whatever. And the lady was like, I take my medicine, so that's why I don't look sick. She looked fine to me. So I'm just I'm like, subhanAllah, and these men still out here sleeping with these women, and you know your wife got HIV. You know she do.
That's saying, may Allah protect us from that.
It just brings me back in the full circus. Maybe Allah is protecting me from something else. Maybe Allah is protecting me from something else, because that's something I ask for Allah to do, is just protect me from evil. Just protect me from evil. And, I want to get married. Like I said, it's half ordained. I'm not looking for no handouts. I'm not looking for no sugar daddy, nobody to take care of me. Why? Because I already have that. My focus is not on material gain. Mine is on the hereafter. What's going to happen after I die? Would I be reunited with my husband and Jenna because, I was a good wife? Will I be able to enter paradise through any door that I want to because I died with my husband pleased with me? That's what I'm searching for. But these brothers don't want that. They don't want that. You got to pay the cost to be the boss, as my dad always said. You got to pay the cost to be the boss. And, if you look at it either way, you're going to have to pay for it. Whether you got a side joint, you're going to have to give her something. You're going to have to give her something. Or you got a wife, you're still going to have to do something.
Right.
You should focus on doing what's right, what's pleasing to Allah. Islam is founded on, and stop with this foolishness. It just doesn't make no sense to keep putting these sisters in a situation. I'm talking about it's people all around the world that know about the Philadelphia community, and it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace.
Yep.
So if you don't have anything else to say, I'll put you back on mute so I can.
I'm inshallah. All right, salam alaikum.
Okay. Wa alaikum salam. It's frustrating that we as women have been given this job, this duty. Being a mother and being a wife, a job in itself. And, my hat's off to sisters who work, go to school, are a wife, take care of kids. And these women, may Allah be pleased with them, do this effortlessly. Effortlessly. They don't complain about it. When I was married, and I think back to when my children were small and I was going to work, school, taking care of my kids, being, I can't fathom how I did it back then because it came so effortlessly. I did it because that was what I know Allah was pleased. I take care of my children. I give my husband his rights. You know, I maintain a home. You know, I'm going to work. I'm going to school. I'm doing all of this. And my only objective is Allah pleased with me. I wasn't worried about too much whether my husband and my children were. I was Allah pleased with my actions. Am I doing everything right that I'm supposed to be doing? As a wife, as a mother. And one satisfaction that I get out of that is when I hear my children. You know, two of my children are grown. When I hear my children say, you were the best mom ever, compared to what my friends had to go through, you was the best mom, you did the best that you could do, and you did an awesome job, mom. Like, I'm proud to say you're my mother, and I wouldn't choose nobody else to be my mom. That's an awesome feeling. And even though my kid's father, we not married no more, he always tell me, wow, you did a good job with the girls. You did an excellent job with them. Like, you were a good mom to them. And you did a great, awesome job. He always tells me that to this day, that you raised our girls good. Like you did an awesome job, Kwai. Like, you know, hats off to you. You did a good job. And I appreciate that because I didn't do it for myself. I did it so that my children are raised to know what to do when they become a mother, when they become a wife. That's how the cycle is supposed to go, and we don't adhere to this. We got too much foolishness running in and out of the religion and playing with it and thinking that it's going to be sufficient. Like, you know, it's the job of the wakil, it's the job of the wali to protect your ward as if that was your own child, as if it was your own child. You got too many wakil walis that want to marry, you know, they ward, you know, different things that's going on. And that should not be the case. And stop going to how we can alleviate this is we can stop it where it starts at. And you may say, what does that mean? What I mean by you can stop it where it starts, you see how I shut that brother down? And I had my wakil involved from the beginning. I had my wakil involved in it from the beginning. So it wasn't no shady stuff going on. And my brother was aware of everything that was going on and taking place, and I let him do his wakil duty to protect my interest, to say, to speak on my behalf, like, I wouldn't let my daughter, and that's my sister, I wouldn't let my daughter marry somebody who ain't going to help her or whatever. Like, he wasn't having it. And that's what your wakil or wali is supposed to do. Even if you set your dowry high, he can barter with the brother and bring it down to an amount that's reasonable that he sees is sufficient for you. Because, again, your wakil wali is supposed to be somebody that knows you. And I was told that that was too lenient. I was told that was too lenient by other brothers. Was like, yo, why that was, yo, you did that boy a favor, and he still ain't want to take that? Yo, he crazy. Because the cost of living here for maintenance, is anywhere from $1,200 to $1,500 just in where I live at. Philadelphia may be a little bit cheaper, but out here it's a little bit more expensive. So, again, I was told by other brothers who inboxed me and said, yo, Kwai, that's all you was asking for? Man, I could have gave that to you. I mean, you know, in the joking way, I could have gave that to you. Yo, you that boy crazy. He ain't run with that? No, he ain't run with that. Yo, he crazy. He was like, you know, like, brother, tell me, yeah, you know, I pay this to my for my wife for her maintenance. I'm talking about $1,200 and up. And then extra stuff. I see somebody else has a question. Okay, I'm going to put you through. Hello, you on? Are you on mute? You can speak.
Sorry, I just chimed in. I was listening to what the sister was saying, and I'm kind of with her because I moved to Gary, Indiana, and my dowry was only set at $300. And some brothers told me that I was crazy for asking that little. So no, I wasn't trying to talk. I was just listening. I just chimed in.
Okay. I'll put you back on mute. Thank you. You know, it's you won't get what you pay for. You know, like I said, it's definitely not easy in today's time. And if more sisters start holding these brothers accountable and using their Wakil and Wali to what they're used for, some of these behaviors will stop. Some of these behaviors will stop because these brothers will then know that they can't do it. Now, something that was made aware to me was that, you know, if you go through Germantown Masjid, and a lot of people in the Philadelphia area attend Germantown Masjid because that's a Salafi Masjid, that they are no longer allowing clothes. They want money. Like, you got to give these sisters money. They don't want no clothes because that's part of the maintenance anyway. Like, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to maintain you with food, clothing, and shelter. So they're requiring anybody who goes through the masjid to give the sister monetary money as a dowry because they're tired of the game. Now, again, don't quote me on that. That is just what someone said. So if you go through the masjid and you take all the proper channels to get married, instead of using this boy's friend or your cousin who you just trying to, you know, using him or whatever, and he really ain't safeguarding who your chastity and your well-being, he's not guarding that, and y'all people are marrying these dudes, and then you wonder why your marriage fails. Or these brothers, I'm going to put it out there too. You don't investigate these sisters as you should, and I leave it open. You want to know something about me? Let me know. I'm not a closed book. I'm an open book. I'll let you know anything, any question you ask me, I'll be able to provide backup to what I stated to you. And I have no problem with revealing that if I think you're going to be serious in, you know, approaching me for marriage. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with providing that information. Because as brothers, you should be doing your homework on these sisters. A lot of these sisters now, you know, some are out there trying to do whatever and get whatever they can and use people. I'm not saying that they're not. Padera never said that they're not. I never said that all Muslim women are perfect. I never said that. And I'm not just leaving this to African-American men because this has been a situation that's been going on, and I have been approached from men all around the world. If people want to call, no, I ain't lying about that. I've been approached for marriage from men all around the world, and it's the same game. It's the same game. They want you to take care of them. I'm not paying for nobody to come to the United States. I'm not going to nobody's country to marry them. You want to marry me? You'll make your way over here to the United States. You got to show me that you're serious about something. You'll pay your way. You'll pay your visas. You'll pay your air flight. You'll pay for everything to get here. You want to marry Quadira? That's what you're going to have to do. And that's a process of elimination because they just back off when you say that. I'm not paying no money for you to come here, and I'm not paying no money to go to your country and marry you. Because if I go to your country, you're going to have to pay for my Wakil to come too. And I'm talking about hotel and all that because I'm not just going to go there one day, marry you, and leave. No. We're going to need at least a week. So if you're really serious about this marriage thing and stop taking this religion for a joke, you'll do what you got to do to be where you need to be at and stop playing with the religion and thinking that you won't be held accountable for your actions. This is for sisters and brothers. Allah knows what's hidden in your breath. He knows what's hidden there. So you can fool me, but you can't fool Allah. You can fool my Wakil, but you can't fool Allah. And if you don't have that fear of Allah, then you probably ain't the one for me, because I fear Allah. I fear Allah in the actions that I do. So I think twice sometimes about stuff. I'm like, oh, no, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do that because that's out of pocket. You know, a lot of brothers have issues, too, with me, with things that I do and how I carry myself. And I said, I got to work on. Absolutely. I definitely know a lot of things I have to work on. A lot of things that I have to work on with myself. And, you know, like I say it all the time, if my husband wanted to take care of me fully and I didn't have to work, it would be much easier. I wouldn't have no problem with staying home, cooking, cleaning. I wouldn't have no problem doing that. But you would need to take care of me with my full maintenance. Like, it wouldn't be no partial. You have to pay for everything. Because, you know, certain situations, you just feel like you're not obligated to do that. And you know, so be it. I'm just thankful that the law gives me, you know, the provisions and the energy and the strength to be able to handle my affairs in the best ability that I have. And give me, you know, the strength to do that and endure each day. Because, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy. Not easy being a single parent. It really isn't. And I don't think no one would try to sugarcoat that, because it's definitely hard trying to juggle everything. I'm going to open up the call one more time. You can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1. And I'll put you through. And if you are streaming live, you can go to the chat box and type in your question, and I'll be able to see it when it comes on the air while we're online as we speak. Yeah, a couple of people left off. But, you know, this call was, you know, it's very hard finding a spouse and saying that, you know, it's an easy process, especially with Islam. We have, you know, roles and protocols that we have to adhere to in order to get married. And it's not something that happens overnight. And everybody that comes your way, you may like that person and things like that, but, you know, Allah has already decreed who you will be married to. It's already written. It's already stated. So, you know, only thing that could change that is dua. And, you know, asking Allah to provide you with a righteous spouse. And be specific when you're asking Allah stuff in your duas, because, you know, it counts. It counts to be really detailed in what you're looking for in a spouse. It's important, you know, that you ask for these things. And these are a lot of things that, you know, maybe I need to focus on. You know, someone was saying that, you know, stop searching. I don't advertise, or I don't go into a brother's inbox and ask them. Qadira has never done that. Never. Never have I approached a man about marriage. And that's just something about me that I have never done, and I don't think I will ever do, as far as, you know, seeking out a husband. If someone's interested in me, you know, you could put it out there. I don't, you know, I even stop with the process where, you know, people say, oh, you're passing up on African-American brothers. There may be, you know, some good African-American brothers out there. And I put that post out there that I'm open to that. I put that out there that I'm open to that. And, you know, I leave that door open. But, you know, everyone that has come so far has been truly a waste of my time. And not just my time, my Wakil's time. Like I said, my brother has a family. He works. He has a wife and children that he has to take care of and, you know, provide time with. So him having his time wasted on brothers who this will never pan out to be anything other than a waste of time, you know, stop. Just stop. I mean, because I have a real Wakil. This is not somebody who's going to play with you and just answer one or two questions and then approve us to get married. He's not going to do that. And I was shocked that this brother actually got that far with him. So, you know, it got down to, you know, I mean, you know, deal with women fairly and justly. You know, if you know that you can't do it and it's just something that you can't handle or maintain, then leave it. Leave that sister for someone who will be able to take care of her and maintain her in a manner that's befitting for her. And everything ain't extravagant. And this is what I try to explain to people and try to tell people. $10,000 to somebody like Rihanna is like a drop. That's like going to, you know, to the dollar store and spending $20. That's how $10,000 is to them. So everything that's expensive for you may not be expensive for someone else. And if you see a sister asking for that, don't degrade that sister and say, oh, you ain't worth that. Who you think you are? You a gold digger. You just out. Why degrade her if she can afford it? I mean, seriously, if you got a sister making $150,000 a year, and she asked for a $10,000 dowry, that's nothing to her. That's nothing to her family. That should be potentially nothing for the brother that's going to approach her for marriage. Now, on the other hand, another brother may look at that as extremely excessive. But that's not within your means, but that's within her means. And you can't ask a sister to give up her means to suit you just because you want to marry her. You leave that off for someone who can afford her, who is willing to pay that. But a lot of people don't see it that way. Oh, she's being excessive. She asked for this. Oh, you asked for this. You asked for that. You asked for $10,000. Because I could pay it back if I wanted to. But that's what you fail to realize. If I ask for something, I could pay it back. I'm not asking for something that I don't have. Oh, you asking for a car. Because I could pay it back. But that's where a lot of brothers fail to realize. But, you know, again, I went the sooner route. I'm like, all right, I'm a dumb it down, as they say, because a sister was told to dumb down her knowledge because she knows too much. As a Muslim that has only been a Muslim for 6 months, they told her to dumb down her Islam because she ain't going to find a brother. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. She knows too much to be a new Muslim. And because she knows so much, a brother ain't going to want to marry her. This is what brothers are telling sisters. Oh, no, that's not how it works. Yes, it is. It wouldn't be in Quran and it wouldn't be in Hadith if it wasn't. But y'all trying to make excuses for these things. Again, Allah is going to hold you accountable for your actions. Every deed that you do is written down. Allah knows within your heart. He knows it. Even if she may not, or even if he may not. Your intentions. Or even accounted for your intentions. On that note, I'm going to get ready to end this call. Unless anybody else has a comment, question, or concern, as I'm closing out the call, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1. If you're on chat, you can go type your question in. If you have a question for me in regards to this topic or anything else, something you want to see on the show, anything you may have a question about, you can reach me directly on my business cell. That's 610-836-2120. can leave a voicemail or a text message. That's a cell phone. If you want to send me an email, that's qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social network platforms. You can find me, Wadira Muhammad. That's Muhammad, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. Quadira is Q-A-A-D-I-R-A-H. Thursday show, I'm actually interviewing my cousin, Shaw Law. He's producing a film that's here in Philadelphia that, you know, is done locally, and he has a boutique shop that many are aware of and many have supported here in Philadelphia area. It's called Bellagio Boy. Shouting out my cousin Khalil. You know, I'll do his interview on Thursday, inshallah, and it'll be about his movie that he is now directing and producing called Fatally Flawless. Inshallah, I can't wait till that comes out. And we got a couple of things that's, you know, is going on big time here in Philly and in the surrounding areas. And, you know, I'm going to get everybody on board. And, you know, if you got an event or something that you want to promote on the show, just give me a shout out and I'll mention it on the air. At least give me two shows prior to the date of your event, and then I can, you know, shout it out on the show and make sure it gets some recognition. I'll even try to promote it on my pages for you. Because I want to support Muslims. I want to support African Americans. I want to support people who live in urban neighborhoods, you know. And it's not about black, white, none of that, Muslim, whatever. I'm here to support anybody that's trying to do something positive for the community on a whole, because that's, you know, that's the only way that we're going to get better. This is the only way that we're going to cut down on the crime rates and things that's just happening. You know, people are just killing people for no reason and over petty things. And I think building up the community is a better way of exploiting, you know, positivity, promoting what's good and forbidding the evil, and, you know, enjoying what's good. So stay tuned for bigger and better things here on Religion Means Alive. Again, we are looking for more people to have their own show on our format under Religion Means Alive. So if you have a show or something that you want to do, reach out to me, and I can get the information to you on having your show on our plan. And, again, it doesn't have to be religious. It could be a variety of things that you want to talk about. So we are looking for that. And last but not least, I thank all of my listeners for joining in, people who are participating in the call, people who, you know, just supported and, you know, posted the page and the show flyer. I appreciate, you know, all the support, you know. And it's not about attacking people. It's not about belittling people. It's about getting the knowledge out there, because a lot of people really don't know. A lot of people really don't know or have the education on Islam like they should, or they're too scared to ask, or, you know, they just, again, just don't know. So that's what we're here for. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me courage, because I'm not somebody who's just going to take something on a back burner or take it with a grain of salt. You know, in Islam, we are encouraged to question things. It's not like Christianity where someone tells you to believe and you believe whatever they say. No, you have to show me proof where these things are. And, you know, as Sister Amal said, and, you know, the other sister on the line who spoke, you know, things are clearly written. And man will try to adjust those things to fit his needs. But there's a clear, concise definition of what those things mean. And, you know, we should try to adhere to them the best that we can. In Islam, there is no picking and choosing like a buffet. There's none of that. It's either you're all in or you're all out. There's no in-between. And this is something that we have to come to grips with. You know, we can't continue to take Islam for a joke. It has gotten too far out of hand. And, you know, I know there are things that, you know, a lot of you know, the heads of the communities and the masses just don't tolerate. They just don't tolerate it. And then these people use where they attend and things like that to try to support it. And I know firsthand these are things that they don't approve of. So, you know, I just ask that, you know, the community keep that in mind. And, you know, make do it for all of us that we are blessed with, you know, a righteous spouse, and that they adhere to the Quran and Sunnah like they should adhere to, and not take the religion for a joke and for, you know, their own purposes. I mean, so on that note, I'm going to end it out. Tonight's topic was hardship of finding a spouse. Why is it so hard in today's time to find a God-fearing spouse? Today's date is February 22nd, 2016. Assalamu alaikum, and have a great evening, everybody.